So I want to do something special to introduce City Matters, ladies and gentlemen. City Matters, here it comes. Here's the fanfare. That's right, City Matters with Ed Gordon, your city manager, and a cast of thousands. Well, maybe four or five, I don't know. Here's Ed.
Whichever it is. Good morning, Phil. Of course, 6:06 every morning you come on, and I hear you every morning at 6 saying it's 6:06. And of course, you put on your official radio voice and you begin the announcements, and off we go to start the day with Phil Weaver. And I'm glad to have you as our congenial radio host this morning.
Well, thank you so much. It's nice to get to be in here with all these high-powered folks here in the room.
It's an eclectic. I wouldn't high-powered. I call them eclectic.
Okay, they are.
Well, I, of course, yesterday was Resurrection Day, and I trust that everybody had a wonderful Easter celebration. I know that Kevin Potter started this morning early with Resurrection Monday. That was just a little after you'd kicked off the day.
He was up early this morning.
He was up early this morning, and interesting this morning. But again, a good Easter celebration. I trust that everybody enjoyed their celebration, Phil. Phil, we have with us this morning several individuals. I'm excited to have this morning Dr. Joseph Callahan, who is our newest city council member. City council appointed him here, been a couple of weeks ago now, right? About 2 weeks ago?
First week of March, yeah.
Well, good morning, Joseph. I think we refer to you as Joseph.
Yes, sir.
And welcome to the radio program.
Happy to be here. I thought maybe we'd be, you know, scratching some records, but this works.
Well, we could. interesting how Phil started the program this morning.
Yeah.
Typically, Charlie tries to throw me under the bus. Dr. Callahan, tell us a little bit about yourself. I think you're not really new to Bartlesville. You've been here about a year.
Mm-hmm.
And tell us about yourself and your family.
Sure. Well, I've been here for about a year now. Relocated with Phillips 66 from Houston, where I am their fitness director. So I oversee all of our fitness programming for our employees and try to make it a better place to work and give them some services like that. So enjoy what I do for a living. Married to a wonderful wife. She came with me. She didn't stay in Houston, so that was fortunate. So I have somebody to talk to. And we have a dog, and that's our family.
Now, you were born and raised in the western part of Texas.
Right. Yeah, I was
kind
born
of panhandle.
Actually born in central Texas, but spent most of my life in Amarillo. I was raised in Amarillo. Lived most of my life in Amarillo. I worked for a bank there for several years, and then did my undergrad at West Texas A&M, and then went on to grad school at Texas Tech in Lubbock.
Now, you did a stint at NASA.
Uh-huh.
And tell us about that. I think that's, you're kind of a renaissance guy, but tell us about your NASA event.
Well, I went to NASA for, I did a short little term there of serving as their wellness program manager, and worked with 4,000 civil servants and 9,000 contractors to design a wellness program for them, and same sort of deal, just trying to get them active, and you know, once they get away from the rockets, that, you know, give them something recreational to do to ease their minds. Totally a different crowd down there that you're working with, so you have to get creative when you're doing that.
I notice he's smiling at Phil as he's saying that. Different crowd down there.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you followed NASA with your start of your career with Phillips?
Yes, and I went straight into Phillips from there.
Mm-hmm. And then about a year ago, you moved to Bartlesville.
That's right.
And what's your take on Bartlesville so far, the year that you've been here?
Yeah, so far so good. I actually was kind of going back and forth even when I was in Houston with Phillips 66, since most of my department was up here. And so I had the pleasure of going back and forth, and then as I moved into my new position, then it was at least once a month. So I got to see the city quite a bit more over that first year, and really fell in love with it, because I am kind of a small town person. I really appreciated Amarillo when I was there, and I was heavily involved in the community, and I missed that when I went to Houston. I didn't get that connection. It's kind of difficult to get that in Houston. I mean, it's definitely doable, but you know, you have the opportunities in a smaller community like this, and I'm just really looking forward to doing that again.
So you've stepped into Bartlesville, and you're on the city council. Had a number of applicants, which I've never, in the 25 years I've been with the city, I've never seen this many council applicants before. Wonderful that Ward 4 responded in the way that it did and the interest that was generated. Joseph, as you look at the city council, do you have any thoughts in mind about serving on the council? I'm sure you do, but any specific goals that you want to achieve?
You know, just because of my background, I'm very interested in physical activity and that. So the Parks and Recreation Department is something that when I came to Bartlesville, one of the first things I found was all the great parks. The Pathfinder is a great recreational opportunity for the citizens. Great disc golf course over at Sooner. You know, splash pad over at Frontier. We've got great parks already. We've got great programs and projects going on too. And so, not really anything specific that I'm trying to look at, but just all the good things that are currently going on, be supportive of those and look for other opportunities to possibly continue the growth of Bartlesville in the direction it's going, attracting those younger workers and retaining that talent that we've got already.
Oh, excellent. And Joseph, contact information. Do you have any you'd like to hand out to the public?
Sure.
If they'd like. So if somebody wants to get hold of you in Ward 4, of course, Ward 4 it stretches out across the northern tier, I'd say, of Bartlesville, from Oak Park all the way over to Prairie Ridge.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll let you do that in a minute. And we'll, so it's a long ward, stretches across. If they want to get hold of you, what do they do?
Sure. You can email me. It's probably the easiest way to do that. jcallahan, C-A-L-L-A-H-A-N, 918@gmail.com. And then all my contact information is on the City of Bartlesville website, too, if you go under City Government and look at City Council.
cityofbartlesville.org, and there you can click on, you can find the City Council link, and you can quickly go to your email information.
That's right.
Well, Joseph, welcome to the City of Bartlesville.
Thank you.
I look forward to working and serving side by side with you. I think you bring a lot to the table.
Well, it was an honor to get appointed, and I'm happy to serve, so I appreciate it.
I noticed Lisa's already, when you started talking about parks, she's already over there in the corner cheering for some reason.
She's giving fist bumps.
Yeah, she was, and we have to calm her down here in a moment because I'm sure I'll hear about this. Mr. Bailey, good morning.
Good morning.
Bill, we have Dr. Mike Bailey, who has a doctorate in accounting theology or something. I don't know what it's called.
Yeah, doctors.
I'm pretty sure I don't.
Okay. All right. We're going to talk all things sales tax, and we're going to do it in 8 minutes.
8 minutes. What am I going to do with the other six?
I don't know. We're going to give that to Lisa. Mike, back in the fall, the citizens of the city of Bartlesville approved a referendum for a 4/10 increase in our operational sales tax for the city. We've been operating with 2.25% operational tax.
Yes, sir.
And we've been operating with that for 1985?
Since 1986, I think, is when it went into effect. So 30 years.
30 years we've been, and of course, there's been sufficient growth in sales tax through about a 2% growth in sales tax annually for two decades. And then we began to notice a tapering off, and then there's been no growth in sales tax since the recession of 2007, in essence.
There's been a few peaks in there, but there's also been a lot of valleys, and we're currently in a valley.
Yeah, we flatlined in sales tax, and of course, through that, we made a number of adjustments to the city of Bartlesville staffing levels. In particular, parks and streets absorbed a lot of that, but other departments, police and fire, have absorbed those positions that we could not fill because of financial constraints. But Mike, with the approval in the fall of the 4/10 increase, we began collecting that in January.
We did.
And of course, it's taken quite a while to get folks to get, and there's some confusion about that. Why is it that it's taken so long from the time that they started collecting, that is the business owners, those who collect sales tax, began in January, but we really just saw the first part of this. It just came in this sales tax report.
I thought you said I only had 8 minutes.
Okay.
The short answer is the way the state of Oklahoma handles sales tax returns. So a business pays in January, or a business collects in January, pays in February, and then remits. Then the state gives it to us in March. That's the short answer. It's a lot more complicated than that because there's a lot of estimates and things, but I don't think most people want to hear about it. But there is about a two-month delay. So went into effect January 1st, and the sales tax that we collected in March and was the first one that truly we saw the complete increase in it. So it it has made things a little more complicated because we always look back 12 months and see
year
what sales
year.
Tax.
We compare that's right. ourselves year over year.
We do each month in a year over year comparison. So it kind of skews that comparison. It does it in a good way, of course, because we have additional sales tax dollars now that we didn't have then. However, all of those dollars were promised to the voters for certain things. So we have to look at this from the perspective of even though sales tax is going up, and in this particular month we were 10% over March of the prior year. However, once you adjust for the amount of that increase,
so if I strip away the 0.4% increase
right.
in sales tax, if I take that away and compare year over year, what is it?
The result then is that we were down about 3%. So of course the timing of the increase was great because here we are in a valley. But again, we, of course, as administration and council, the thing that we don't forget is that we promised the voters that money would be spent in a certain way. So, of course, as the sales tax base continues to shrink, then we still have to concern ourselves about the rest of our operations.
Now, specifically, you're referring to in the election, because there were positions that have been sacrificed.
There was.
Because we are primarily a service organization, and while we do have a business side where we provide water, service,
yes.
solid waste service, wastewater service, and we charge a fee for those. That's the business side. The other side of this is our largest source of revenue is
sales tax,
and
by
we
far.
Depend heavily on that to run the general fund side.
And of course, the general fund is what most people can think of when they think of city government. Outside of water, sanitation, and wastewater, it runs just about everything else. And so it is police, fire, streets, parks, planning. City council, administration, library, you can go on and on. There's a huge list of things that sales tax funds.
And of course, police and fire are the largest part of that. And
they are. They're about 50% of it.
And of course, the council, all of us concerned with public safety. And let me just say that in the adjustment of those positions in police and fire both, the health and safety of the city of Bartlesville was not compromised at all.
It was not.
But it's a burden to our firemen and our policemen in that both sides have absorbed that with overtime. That is, we've had to pay additional overtime because people, the shift work that takes place, and so it was never compromised. But it is a burden on both the police and fire in that they have to work extra to cover those shortages.
They did, and of course we have a minimum manning standard for both departments that we never dropped below that minimum manning standard. However, because of that, it meant that some of the officers and some of the firefighters were having to work more than what we would have preferred, and I think what they would have preferred. So adding these positions will relieve that burden. It will also hopefully make recruitment and retention easier.
And so that's the promise that you're referring to that we made, that the city council, as they considered this increase, they were concerned with the staffing levels. And I began by saying that we're a service organization in the general fund side, and it's, again, 51% of the general fund is spent in police and fire.
It is, and there was, with the sales tax increase, there were 8 positions added in public safety, just in police and fire. There was also 2 code enforcement positions that were added. So Lisa is celebrating over here. There was a number of street maintenance positions. There were also several rights of way and parks employees for maintaining public spaces. So
those will be restored as sales tax comes in?
As promised, those will be included.
And of course, Dr. Joseph Callahan, you'll get to review the budget and to be a part of that process. You're right in on the front end of this as staff has begun. In fact, today, budgets are due.
They are. So if my fellow directors are listening,
yes.
your budget your deadline has arrived.
Yeah, your budget's due today to accounting. And there they'll begin to compile those, and then we have budget hearings with the director shortly. But let's stay on focus here on sales tax. Don't let me get too far off, Mike.
Yes. We've never been known to ramble.
No. A 10% increase in sales tax. Tell us what that number, what is that number?
When you say that number.
The 10% increase, how is that reflected?
Dollar amount?
Yes.
The good news is it was about $130,000 from the prior year. So it is It is over the prior year. So again, it was a substantial increase. Unfortunately, a majority of it, well, all of it was due to the sales tax increase. So we've looked at it, and essentially anything less than a 13% increase over the next 12 months would actually be a decrease once you adjusted for a decrease in the underlying sales. Let's put it that way.
Right. And folks are thinking to themselves, $130,000, gosh, that's a lot of money. But what is monthly? What do we normally receive in a month, Mike?
Been around 1.3 to 1.4. We're expecting that it should be.
No, we say 1.3 to 1.4. What does that mean?
A million.
Oh, thank you. 1.3 to 1.4
million. I'm looking
million.
At it. It seemed obvious to me.
Yeah, I understand.
And we anticipate that now the norm will be somewhere between 1.4 and 1.6 million. And so it's a substantial amount of money on a monthly basis and an annual basis.
And our operational budget for the city of Bartlesville annually is about $20 million?
That includes reserves. So our operating budget is somewhere, what we spend is somewhere between $18 and $19 million usually.
And total overall funding that has to be accounted for and tracked is close to $60
million? Yes, that includes all of our debt service and our water and wastewater and capital spending. There's a lot of different pots of money in city government. Some people find that frustrating, but the reality is it was done to protect those funds so that they are spent in accordance with the voters' wishes.
So we're, if and I'm speculating here, if we had not done the sales tax increase, Mr. Bailey, if that had not happened, we'd be in trouble.
We would be. You and I have had this conversation, and we believed if we didn't get the sales tax increase that we would be making significant operational adjustments before the end of the year. And I think these numbers reflect that. So, again, thanks to the voters for their faith and their support
trust.
And their trust in their city government.
And if I feel, as I've always believed, the most sensitive nerve in the Barsham body is the one that runs from the pocketbook to the heart. And so we try and...
and we...
And
we touched it deeply.
Yeah, we did. And we recognize that we are here because they're there. And we want to protect their interest and spend their money wisely. Mike, thank you for all that you do. And we look forward to
the
budget hearings. And Ms. Beeman, good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted to talk all things TIF this morning. And we've got about 10 minutes left in the program, exactly. And because it's been in the news most lately. And so I wanted to talk all things TIF in 10 minutes.
I wonder
how we're
going to
do that as we tally the day, tally-ho. Lisa, Article 10, Section 6C, I'm sure the citizens out there are now boiling with excitement.
They are.
Of the Oklahoma Constitution refers to what we call the Local Development Act, and it is for specific public investments, assistance, and development. It's where a public entity, City of Bartlesville, for instance, may direct a portion or the apportionment of its taxes and fees. And there are specific categories, and I'm just going to list several.
Mm-hmm.
Historic preservation or investment in or reinvestment in certain areas or in enterprise areas. Lisa, what in the world is a tax incentive finance district or a TIF? Affectionately called a TIF.
A TIF. Well, it's actually one of the best public financing tools that communities have in Oklahoma and in other states across the country for economic development. And that can be, as you said, new development or it can be redevelopment. It's typically where the public, the city of Bartlesville or a government, such as ours, works with the private side to create a public-private partnership to incentivize private development. It's often done, cities often do this when we are aware of an unmet need in the community, and we work with the private sector to try to develop a partnership to incentivize them to meet that unmet need.
Now, when we talk about the what of a TIF district, Lisa, What is it that the public entity uses to assist in, as we just mentioned, the historic preservation reinvestment or an enterprise area? What is it that we use? What are the tools that we use to encourage redevelopment or enterprise development?
Well, typically the public participation in this is usually helping in terms of infrastructure costs, like paying for street, sewer, water, storm drainage, and site preparation costs. To encourage a developer to come in, oftentimes there are the money is used to help overcome obstacles that might prevent a development from going forward, and so the city participates in that development to ensure that it can go forward and meet. Typically, it's always done whenever we know there's a need in the community that is not being met, probably because there's a risk factor or there's an obstacle or something like that that prevents that from going forward on its own. And it's done by the use of the TIF district.
Now, when we say tax incentive, what is the tax incentive that we're referring to?
Yes, this is a program, a tool that's used without raising any tax rates to any of the taxpayers and without diverting any tax revenues that are already being received by any of the taxing jurisdictions, whether that's the city, the county, or any of the school districts. There are no tax increases and nobody loses taxes. How it works is the city has the ability to borrow, to provide an incentive to the new development, and we can do that by borrowing against the future property tax revenues which will come from the new development. So the development actually pays for its own incentive over a period of time from the new property taxes that it generates.
So on a particular development, on let's say it's a 1 acre piece of ground, I'm just using this for mm-hmm. illustration purposes, and let's say the taxes on that annually are $100 a year on that 1 acre ground inside the city limits of Bartlesville. That is apportioned, or that is the revenue off that is directed to those taxing entities that are collecting a millage rate.
Correct.
For instance, the county gets, Washington County gets 10 mills, and they get a portion of that. The school district, I think, is 31 mills, as I recall, and then there's Tri-County Tech has a millage rate. City of Bartlesville has 15 mills for their ad valorem bond issues that the citizens approve. So those are collected and apportioned or paid to the taxing entity. So that $100 a year doesn't change.
It does not change.
But what does change, Lisa?
Well, let's suppose a new development comes on that site, on that 1 acre site, and now they're paying $1,100
a year.
The $1,000 in, that's why it's called an increment, that's the increment of the new taxes that come in. That new increment of that $1,000 is used then to provide that incentive. So let's say we provided an incentive of $10,000 to the new development. They would pay that $10,000 back over 10 years of paying their property taxes. That's a very simplistic view of it, but they basically pay that $1,000 back, and we would collect that increment for 10 years until we've repaid, till they have basically paid back that incentive. So the city, the city is not held out, liable for that. It comes from the development itself.
And it is a development tool that's used widely across the state.
It is.
That was the form of question.
And
there are Oklahoma City.
Tulsa has some. Bricktown is one. Yeah, there's several in Tulsa.
So they're used, and we're not. And many, many cities our size
use this
mechanism to fund or to encourage redevelopment.
And more cities are doing that now as federal funds and grant funds and things like that are starting to dry up. More and more cities are using this tool as a important.
And I guess the second financing question of the four W's, well, one H with a how,
yeah,
the why of a TIF district. Talk about why, and you've kind of covered this generically, but more specifically, it kind of comes to a but for.
Right. And basically, that is, we use the but for clause. The development basically says that without this participation from the public sector, we would not be able to go forward with this development. That's the but for.
We got a couple of minutes left. Lisa, we meet with the taxing entities. There's a tax review incentive board
mm-hmm.
Made up of who?
just
made up
generically.
Of all the taxing entities. So there's someone from Tri-County Tech and the school district and the county and the city. Those are the four taxing jurisdictions in our area.
And of course, then there are others that are involved in the process in this committee that is established by the city council.
And by state law.
State law, and then the city council under that authority establishes the review committee is what we affectionately call it. And their lively discussions are held around the table about TIF districts and how long they can be. And how long can a TIF district be for by state law?
By state law, they can be up to 25 years. The review committee, that their process is to look at how long it has to be, what's the minimum it has to be in order to pay back the incentive. So it's usually more commonly somewhere between 10 and 15 years, but it can go up to 25 years.
Lisa, have we used this mechanism before in the city of Bartlesville?
We have. We've used it for the downtown redevelopment. We have two TIF districts down there. We did one for the hotel downtown. We've done some for some housing developments that have now actually paid off and have been closed out.
So. Or paying off. We've got a couple of them left, but they have some of them have already paid off
and closed out.
Closed those and so we don't. This is a tool that we use to encourage development.
That's correct.
Lisa, I know this is a very complex subject, and if citizens have a question, who can they call?
Well, they can call me. My number's 918-338-4237. And could you mention that one last thing?
We're going to let you and Dr. Callahan do this. Let's talk about, we've got 1 minute left in the program. Tell us about what happened in Johnstone Park.
Johnstone Park, we have adult fitness equipment that has been installed, and we hope and we're planning a ribbon cutting of the grand opening of that on Friday, April 1st at 2:00 p.m.
Joseph?
Yeah, I would just like to encourage anyone that has the opportunity to come out and see the new equipment to make a visit Friday at 2:00 over at Johnstone. I think it's awesome equipment. If you're into CrossFit or just, you know, using bodyweight movement, get out there and give it a shot. We'll have some few people out there giving some demonstrations on how to use it safely and effectively. So pencil it in.
My grandchildren have already been out and used it. Been over there climbing on it.
Climbing on that net, didn't they?
Yeah, they are. The they really net. Love that net. Yeah. So we'd encourage you to take advantage of this opportunity, as there's a grand opening this coming Friday at 2:00.
2:00.
Johnstone, northwest corner of Johnstone Park. Phil, you've done an excellent job of hosting today.
Well, you did. You just ran the show. Fantastic.
I'd rather have a foghorn.
Ooga!
Dignity, compassion, excellence. Stump Funeral Home and Crematory, Bartlesville, Nowata, Barnstall. This is KWON Bartlesville and K227CQ Bartlesville.
CBS News, I'm Peter King. A Republican governor says no to a law passed by his state's Republican-controlled legislature.
I will veto